Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, where it's all about making the ultimate leap from your 9 to 5 and building a business and life you love, all while doing it your way. I'm your host, Amanda Bolin. Let's get started. Hey there, my beautiful She Did It Her Way listeners. I'm so excited to be back for another solo cast with you, whether you are tuning in stateside or maybe you are in Europe, you're in Australia, you're in the Middle East, wherever you are. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am so grateful to have your ears and to be on this journey with you. And I really, it's a pinch me moment every single time I sit down and record a guest interview or a solo cast to really think that this beauty of technology has allowed for me to share the insights and wisdom in my journey and for you to be able to press a button and get that through your ears. It's just wild and mind-blowing. And today's episode is all about the 6 steps to creating more space and allowing you to achieve your goals. Because one of the biggest things that I have found, not only with myself, but also clients, right? This podcast is a reflection of my experiences and then also working with clients, is that we have these amazing goals and things that we want to achieve. But the number one reason why we don't achieve them is because we get distracted and we don't keep the main thing the main thing. And so in today's episode, I'm going to share with you some of the things that I have done over the past handful of months that has really, really allowed me to go all in and zero in my focus to not get distracted and achieve massive results. So I'm so excited to bring that to you today. Before we dive into the episode, I want to give a shout out to the lovely Christine McAllister for her iTunes review of the week, named Love It or titled Love It. I love what Amanda is sharing here and her approach to helping women create success on their own terms. Thank you, Amanda, for the insights, motivation, and inspiration. Christine, thank you so much for your amazing review. Again, you guys, I so appreciate this. I love reading them, and it's just another chance for me to connect with you reading these reviews, but also side note, plug for our free Facebook group as well called Her Way Community. You can head on over to Facebook and type in Her Way Community and get plugged in to our free Facebook group where I do trainings just about every single week. Without further ado, I digress. Let's dive in to this week's podcast episode. And again, one of the biggest reasons why we don't achieve our goals is because we get distracted from keeping the main thing the main thing. We start to major and minor things. We start to think that everything is a priority. And especially in the beginning stages of building a business, it can definitely feel like that because you know there are like 50 million things, quote unquote, 50 million things, of course, that we feel like we need to do, when in reality, we have to pick one thing and really prioritize on what is that one thing, and then what are the things that I need to do and produce in order to get me closer to achieving that one thing, that goal. What happens is that we wander, our minds wander, life takes over, we get distracted, and next thing you know, it's 30 days later, and we haven't even come close to achieving the goals that we had set forth. And part of it might be that maybe we're setting the wrong goal. And if that's the case, so maybe we're not entirely motivated by the goal that we set. Part of it might be we need to practice the skill of actually following through. And part of it might be on how our environment is set up, which is what I'm going to dive into today. I'm going to share some things with you that are going to allow you to eliminate the noise and the distractions from your world and to help you create even more focus and space to achieve your goals, aka not be in reactive mode to what it is you're doing and your schedule and to be proactive about it. So I'm going to share 6 things that you can do right now that will drastically change your ability to achieve your goals. And when I started implementing these 6 things, achieving my goals actually became easier and they became a habit and they became the norm. There was zero question about whether or not I was going to achieve the goals that I set out for myself because I knew that I had set myself up for success by implementing these 6 steps. And again, I shouldn't say 6 steps because they can happen in any order, but these are more 6 tips to creating that, right? So number one is I want you to limit your input. Part of what distracts us is the amount of input we're taking in from other people's opinions, not just about our business and in life, scrolling through Instagram aimlessly without a purpose or plan, and then potentially seeing something that triggers us, maybe it's comparison, and that leads us on a path to where it isn't until 45 minutes later we've realized we've gotten distracted. We've all been there, right? Maybe it is thinking we have to listen to all the podcasts and read all the books. And you want to make sure that you are creating more than you are consuming, especially as a business owner. You want to protect your time. You want to protect the input that is coming into your mind and your brain that is producing your thoughts. So here is a really, really quick list of things that you can take inventory on right now when it comes to limiting. So number one, other people's opinions. And what I mean by that is potentially not even putting yourself in the position to be on the quote unquote defense of someone else's opinion. And an example of this could be that when you're starting your business, you are in such a vulnerable state and you're excited, but you're also scared. And shouting from the rooftops to everyone you know, including those who are skeptical, including your close friends and family, who some are just love you so much they don't want to see you get hurt, and some who are like, let's see if she can do it, right? Shouting from the rooftops about your business can expose you in a very vulnerable moment, and it also exposes you to other people's opinions. Opinions that are, quite frankly, they are giving you when they don't have the results that you want. And so limiting situations where you may find yourself at the mercy or in the, in the line sight of other people's opinions, and making sure on the flip side, getting plugged into groups and coaching programs that support your goals and your journey. Another thing to limit is website browsing. So being really mindful of how much time you are browsing the internet aimlessly, and being acutely aware that if by visiting this one site, it's going to lead you down a path of wanting to visit multiple sites. There are certain sites that I jump on, let's say if it's a blogger or if it's an online magazine, that leads me down a path of just consuming information way too long. So either it's A, knowing this and deciding, okay, I'm not going to browse that site, or B, saying, okay, fine, I'm giving myself a 10-minute time constraint so that it doesn't turn into an aimlessly scrolling and browsing. Number three, podcast listening. I want to give you permission that you do not need to listen to all the podcast. And I know for some of you out there, part of listening to the podcast is so that you can check something off of your list. Hello, I've been there. Yes, welcome. And it can feel very satisfying to check that off the list, but you have to ask yourself, you know, is this actually allowing me to take massive action to achieve the massive result and goal that I want in my life? And sometimes listening to podcasts, depending upon the type of it, can actually distract you, because if you're going down one road where you are implementing a strategy because you're plugged into a coaching program, and then you listen to a podcast that's like, oh, do this, you're gonna potentially find yourself second guessing the coaching program strategy that you're doing and wanna pivot and go to another strategy, because the truth of the reality is that there is never a scarce amount of different ways and strategies that you can go about your online business. And so being really mindful of the intake when it comes to podcasting, potentially look at the podcast you listen to and limit to maybe one or two shows. Hopefully you keep this one. I would love that, right? But really being mindful and intentional. I've shared on previous podcast episodes that for me, I have about three podcasts that I listen to regularly. One's a personal development, one's an astrology, and then the third one is mine. And that's not because I don't want to support other podcasts or anything of that nature, but it's because I'm protecting my time and I'm protecting the energy and I'm protecting my brain from having so much input. The fourth thing is reading multiple books because you think you should be reading so many books. Now, there's different schools of thought. There are people that read 5 books a month. There's people that read a book a month. Whatever that looks like for you, I just want to give you permission that if you're feeling overwhelmed because you think you need to read all the books, you certainly don't. And reading more books right now, especially when you're in the beginning stages of building your business, it's more about taking massive action rather than passive action. And so that looks like getting into action and maybe saving a book for before bedtime so you're not on your screen and having that book to read. But aside from that, it's how can you get into massive action? The next one is the phone usage. This is huge, and I'm going to share in coming up a number two about how to really monitor your phone usage, how often you pick up your phone, because once you pick up your phone, there's so endless opportunities for you to get distracted being on your phone, whether it's web browsing, going into a social media app, checking your email, checking your text messages, all those things that actually derail us from keeping the main thing the main thing. And the last one is reality TV, okay? If you are watching reality TV, thinking to yourself, okay, either how can I omit this completely or how can I limit the reality TV that I watch so that it's not over consuming my time and my energy? And so again, a way to limit your input from number one, we're going to move into number two, is by creating constraints. And when you create constraints, this really helps you create focus because you're basically setting up rules for yourself so that you can not get distracted. And once you've identified what you want to limit, next is to create the constraint that helps you limit that input. It is the time to put blinders on, my friends. And think of this as like a horse race. They wear what is called blinkers so that they can only see their forward and only the rear of someone passing them, but they can't see what's alongside them so they don't get distracted from what it is that they are going to and trying to meet that finish line. So it is time for you to put your blinkers on. It is time to stop looking to see what everyone else is doing and focus on what you need to do. So here are a few things that you can do right now to put your own blinkers on. One is set up do not disturb time constraints on your phone. This will make it so that you don't receive notifications for a certain part of the day. I have mine set from 8:30 p.m. to 7 a.m. in the morning. And with the iPhone, you can create a list of favorites. And so anyone that's on that list, you'll still get messages and calls from. So for example, in my phone book, I've listed family members, including my husband, as part of my favorites so that in the event of some sort of emergency, their calls, their messages will still come through. But for the most part, I am not on my phone between the hours of 8:30 and 7 a.m. as well. And to also add on to that is that I highly recommend plugging your phone in at night an hour before you go to bed in another room that is not your bedroom. I have been doing this for years and it has been a game changer to one, the sleep quality, and two, the ability to fall asleep. If you're on your phone before you go to bed or any sort of device, it really stimulates your brain. And then that causes your brain to think thoughts and it kind of spirals out or it maybe not necessarily spirals out, but it's buzzing. And what you want to do is you really want to calm down your brain before you go to bed so you can fall asleep faster and you can get better sleep. The second thing you can do is set up time limits on certain apps. So currently I have a time limit on Instagram. And when I first started, I will say like, it was so amazing to realize, well, maybe not so amazing, but it was actually really eye-opening to realize how much time I was spending on this app, right? And I spend time on it for She Did It Her Way, but there was certainly time for aimlessly like scrolling through. And so now when I get on, I think, oh my gosh, I only have X amount of time. I need to make sure that I'm intentional with that time. Okay. The next one, number three, is I've shared this before, is place your phone in a different location an hour before bed so you're not tempted to be on it. Number four, really go into your podcasting app and select 1 to 2 podcasts that you're going to listen to and delete the rest. The next one is join a community. And what I mean by this, for example, is every week inside Coach Her Way Academy on Mondays from 5 to 7 p.m. Central and Wednesdays from 5:30 to 7:30 a.m. Central, we do virtual co-working hours as part of the coaching program. And I will tell you, for the students in the program, it has been amazing and a game changer, because we have already set forth the specific hours and time that we have designated for you to work on your business. And it allows you to create that constraint in your own schedule. And so the students inside the program automatically already know, okay, these are the times and days of the week that I'm working on my business, and they've blocked it off, and now they can defend it on their calendar. The next one is time constraints. So giving yourself half the amount of time to do something that you thought was going to take longer. If you need to produce a piece of content and you have an hour and a half blocked out to produce that one piece of content, I want you to cut that in half to 45 minutes. For example, if you're scheduling social media for Instagram and you originally gave yourself an hour to do it, I want you to cut that time in half and do it in 30 minutes. And the reason why I suggest this as a tool to do this is because oftentimes we think things are going to take longer than they actually do. And sometimes it can lead us and drive us to this need to have it perfected. And the truth is, like we've talked in previous podcast episodes, it's never done. It's never going to be perfect. And you can actually save yourself a lot of time by setting out these short sprints and cutting the time in half, so that you are really focused and honed in on getting that task done versus expanding and taking up the amount of time that you originally set forth. So instead of taking 90 minutes to write that piece of content, you now have been like, okay, I've actually only got 45 minutes to produce this piece of content. And so you really get focused and in the zone when you do that. Now, sometimes it's not a clear cut, like cut it in half. Maybe you just need to reduce it by 25 to 30%. So if you think an hour, maybe give yourself 40 minutes, right? Practice and play along with that, but look at your schedule, look at the things you need to get done, put a timestamp on them, and really challenge yourself to make it a time stamp and a time constraint that really forces you to get in the zone. The next one is remove all notifications on your phone. Turn these off so you don't get distracted, which also is, even when you're working and you're in the zone, just put the phone in the other room. You can't even touch it. Put it on airplane mode. Just get it out of your sight, because that is a distractor to so many things. The next one is mute people on social media. Yes, I know. You can mute people. You can still follow people, and you can also mute them. And when you mute them, it's an option to not see their stories and to not see their posts, or to not see both of them. And I'm giving you permission to do that. Because if there are people within your feed that trigger you, so you can either mute or you can unfollow, right? So unfollow or mute. And that is really to protect your time and energy. Because if you see something that triggers you that is going to cause you to go into comparison mode, then we don't need that, right? You don't need that. It could be a friend of yours, whatever that looks like. Now, if it's a perpetual thing that you find yourself being judgmental or having a hard time with anyone that comes close to you when it comes to business, then that might be a separate conversation. But as far as just staying focused, it's okay to unfollow. It's okay to mute people on social media. So for example, I might follow on my personal account like bloggers and like influencers that have really amazing fashion that I love, that are neutrals, and I get inspired and ideas by that. Now on the flip, like if I'm not aware, I could go down a rabbit hole and be like, I want this, I want that. And so then my brain, it's taking up space in my brain. And so I want to offer to you that it's okay to unfollow. It is okay to mute. It is about putting yourself first, protecting your time and energy so you can focus. And the other one is that you can install, it's called Facebook News Feed Eradicator. This you can install on your Google Chrome browser. It only works on desktop. I believe it only works on desktop, or maybe I need a double check of that. But you install it in your Google Chrome browser so that every time you bring up Facebook, you don't see a news feed. You actually see a motivational quote. So those are some things to create constraints to help you limit your input in your daily life. Number three is I want you to practice saying no more often. Yay, right? Part of putting limitations and constraints for ourselves and what we allow in actually requires us to practice saying no and doing it more often. Because I believe that saying no and practicing saying no is actually a skill and one that must be cultivated in order to achieve your massive results and your massive goals. Because whatever you say yes to, you are indirectly saying no to something else. And it's important for you and I to realize what is our goal and then how do we protect it and then be able to only say yes to the things that support that goal. And to kind of go through this a little bit from like an understanding of, you know, why we don't actually say no more often. And there's so many reasons why we don't say no, but here are a few that I believe based on my experience and my research is that the reason why we don't say no, one, is for fear of disappointing or upsetting others. And this was definitely true for me. I didn't want someone to be upset when I said no because of fear that they wouldn't like me, fear that I want to get invited back. All these fears came up. But what we have to consider is how when we don't say no, we actually are disappointing ourselves. And so for example of this might look like if you have planned to attend a virtual co-working meetup in the morning from 5:30 to 7:30, let's say it's on a Friday morning and it's Thursday night and your friends are out, it's happy hour, they want to get together, they're coming over for wine, whatever that looks like, and they invite you and you want to say yes, but you know that if you do say yes, you might run the risk of having too much wine and then you're not going to show up to co-working hours on Friday, okay? So you might be saying yes to the wine happy hour, but you're running the risk of saying no to the virtual co-working hours. And knowing your goal is to build your online business and to quit your corporate job, you have to put the things ahead and as priority that are going to get you there. So that's an example of where we might be in that situation and how if you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to something else indirectly. And know that it's you might disappoint people in the moment, but you ultimately, if you don't say no, you might actually end up disappointing yourself longer term. Another reason why we don't say no, again, is we want to be liked. It's primal. We want to be included. And as someone who I spent majority of my life as a people pleaser and wanted everyone to like me, this was a really big growth opportunity for me. And I used to want to be all things to all people everywhere. And I quickly learned as I got older in my adult years that trying to do all the things made me distracted and my world became loud and I lost sight of my own goals and what I wanted as well. Now, here's how you can actually practice saying no. Know ahead of time what is important to you so that you know why you are saying no. Remind yourself of the trade-off so that whenever you say something, when you say yes to something, you're indirectly saying no to something else. And know what is that something else? Is it your business, your goals? What is it? So you can really focus on the trade-off. And start small. Start small. And what I mean by that is exercising the no thank you in smaller bits. It doesn't have to be something large to start out, but saying small might be saying no thank you to a cookie someone offers you. It might be saying, do you want a glass of wine? No thank you. Starting small to build that muscle and that skill. And then the next one, how to practice saying no is also being prepared to missing out. This is something that I personally tend to live a life that is a little bit quieter. I go to bed a lot earlier than a lot of my friends. And so I leave group gatherings a lot earlier and I have gotten used to that. And it's something that in the beginning when I started practicing and being comfortable and okay with that, it was challenging. It was hard, right? But I started to prepare myself that I might be potentially quote unquote missing out, but I realize that I'm actually not missing out because there's a trade-off for me to live the life that I want. And so it's also that, you know, be prepared to quote unquote miss out, but know that you're not actually missing out because you are saying no to something that doesn't support you and the best version of you and your life and your business. And that is okay. The next one, number four, is you can declutter your physical space. And when you have more stuff in your space, it is hard to keep it organized and it's hard to create a place for everything that you have. Physical clutter can impact your mental state as well. So when everything has a place, you actually don't spend time trying to find your keys, thus reducing stress and saving time. And it also allows you to create more focus. More stuff means it's easier to create a mess. And so here are a few tips to get started on decluttering your space. You can start with one room at a time and take 30 minutes to edit and remove things that no longer serve you, bring you joy, or that you use. And be extremely intentional about what you bring into your physical space. What's the purpose of it? And this doesn't just pertain to your home, but other areas like your car, if you have a garage, your yard. How can you keep it neat, tidy, spacious, so that you don't have that energetic physical overwhelm by everything that's happening? And you can just start with one room at a time. The next one is you can actually declutter your digital space. This is so therapeutic and lethargic, which is crazy to think that when you declutter your digital space that it feels so good, but it does. And I know some of you are laughing because you've done this before and you know exactly what I'm talking about. And that looks like taking inventory of all the apps on your phone. Do you need them? Why are they there? Can you delete them? Again, them just being there becomes an opportunity for distraction. Can you delete photos that are simply screenshots or maybe stories from your Instagram and clean them up and organize them? Can you reorganize your apps that you have? Move them to a different screen so you're not tempted. So moving them away from your home screen and putting them on the second screen. Now, I'm referring to iPhones and maybe it's a little bit different for Android, but can you make it harder for you to access apps on your phone so that you're not as tempted? You can also unsubscribe from emails that you no longer need. I know this is something that I love to do when emails come into my inbox that I don't need. I'm like, where is the unsubscribe button right now? You can clean up your desktop, so not leaving it filled with a bunch of files or anything like that. You can go through and delete. You can clear out your garbage on your computer. Clear out your inbox, so group everything together by sender, and you can do a mass delete. You can go through your download folder on your computer and delete anything that doesn't need to be there. You can also put it into the cloud so you free up space. You can upgrade all your operating systems and applications for your phone, your laptop, your desktop, and you can go through and organize your Google Drive and your Dropbox. I always recommend anytime you're going through a Google Drive or Dropbox, go through folder by folder and simply either delete or create an archive folder for things that necessarily aren't necessary for the present moment, but you still want to keep on like hold of, but it's organized knowing that, okay, this is the archive folder. So in the event that I need it, I can go into it, but maybe there's things that you just simply don't need and then you can delete. The next one and the final one is track how you're currently spending your time. And this is huge. Most of us don't actually know where our days go. And so if we don't know how we spend our days, that means it could be a chance for us to track our time. Now, first step is bringing awareness as to how you're currently spending your days and your time. I recommend downloading an app like Toggl, T-O-G-G-L, or grab a sheet of paper and write it all out. This is so helpful. And I still do this from time to time because I can be in a rhythm and a flow. And the next thing, you know, 3 months in, I might find that, okay, I'm getting distracted here. How can I reassess and track my time, how I'm spending it, to really understand, okay, where do I need to edit? How do I put more constraints in and how do I keep focus? So a quick recap is 1, limit your input. 2, you can limit your input by putting constraints in place. 3 is practice saying no, start small. You can declutter your physical space in step number 4. Number 5 is declutter your digital space. And step number 6 is track your time to become more aware of how you're spending it. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would so love for you to screenshot it, share it out on social media, tag us at She Did It Her Way. I'm so excited and so grateful for you. And until next time, keep doing it your way. If you enjoyed today's podcast episode, you can head on over to SheDidItHerWayPodcast.com where you can access the entire vault of She Did It Her Way podcast episodes and more information all about how to make the ultimate leap from your 9-to-5. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would be so grateful if you headed on over to iTunes and left a review letting me know what you love about the She Did It Her Way podcast. Until next time, keep doing it your way.